Hello and welcome to episode 3 of Radio Retail. My name is William Madison, and as you can tell from the music, it's almost Christmas. On this episode of the podcast, we'll be talking to Eleanor Kane from Deloitte on some of the upcoming customs rule changes retailers need to be aware of. But first, we're going to talk to Kyle Monk, our Director of Insights at the BRC, on, you guessed it, how things are looking this festive season and leading into the new year. There's a lot to talk about, so let's just jump right in. We hope you enjoy the podcast. And I'm joined now by Kyle Monk, Director of Insight at the BRC. Kyle, how's it going?
Good afternoon, Will. Yeah, going well here, thanks. We're in the sort of thick of peak at the moment, so very busy with members, but otherwise all good.
Yeah, I can imagine. Before moving on to the elephant in the room being Christmas, we talked a little bit in the last episode about Black Friday. Do we have any new data on this year's performance so far?
We do indeed. So the November sales figures are out. So we saw on a total basis, November was 5% up on a year-on-year growth in 2020. So we saw, you know, it was positive year-on-year. However, we've got to bear in mind that last year wasn't sort of an apples for apples comparison in the sense that we were in a firebreak lockdown. There's a lot of uncertainty about the future, and talk of vaccines was still quite a long way away for most of the population. So it, while it's positive, it doesn't tell the true picture. On a 2-year basis, we also saw growth. We saw non-food online growth in particular was up 18%. So online sales still very strong, despite the fact that that was one of the only was the only channel available for the majority of retailers in that category. So positive, but quite difficult to actually compare adequately. I suppose the other thing is what we saw this year, which was very different, was that the sort of shape of demand was very different. So it's quite consistent across the month. We saw lots of retailers who, in essence, were had a sort of black month of promotions rather than a black week, which was already an upgrade from the original Black Friday concept, of sort of 5 or 6 years ago. So, that sort of shop early message, I think, filtered through to consumers, and obviously retailers were doing that in large part, trying to avoid those peaks in demand that would potentially cause challenges within their supply chains.
We're now only a few days away from Christmas. I know we're not going to have all the data at this stage, but what are you hearing from retailers on how things are performing this year?
So again, it's been a very challenging time. Speaking to a few sort of chief finance officers this year, they're sort of tearing their hair out slightly because, it's very difficult to make a meaningful comparison on a year-on-year basis. But, most signs have been positive so far. Obviously, excluding the recent news of, the Omicron variant and what that might mean for both trade in this week and next week, which is usually crucial. So demand generally ramps up sort of week on week and sort of peaks in the week before Christmas. So it is a very crucial period. And if, further restrictions are imposed, that could pose a real challenge. On a positive note, fashion retailers have generally been saying that things have been quite good. Sort of formal wear retailers have seen their demand buoyed. So although, the government mandated that we shouldn't really have Christmas parties, lots of people still seem to be having them. So that sort of helped the fashion category quite well. Mm-hmm. And generally, it seems that people are sort of spending a bit more this year, both to unwind some of those savings. So we've accumulated something like 200 billion, in savings across the last the last year or so as a country. And people are sort of, I guess, using some of that to treat their loved ones this Christmas. So positive overall. There's some challenges around sort of physical stores still. So while online sales are going from strength to strength, shopping center footfall in November was down nearly 35%. High streets were nearly down 20%. Retail parks actually sort of surpassed pre-pandemic levels a few times during the month, but on aggregate we're down sort of 4%. So physical retail still has some challenges, and obviously now going into this sort of slightly uncertain period where we're not sure exactly how this new strain of COVID will evolve and what the government will do in response, it's injected some additional uncertainty. And we've already seen footfall decline slightly this month on where we were sort of forecasting it to be.
Yeah, picking up on that point, I mean, obviously the Omicron variant's throwing a well, a big spanner in the works, not only for society in general, but also for your team in terms of predictions. And yes, I'm still going to ask the question. Looking ahead to the new year, predictions being tricky, but do we have any indications on how things might be looking, particularly in terms of things like consumer confidence? You know, what can you tell us about the broader economic outlook for the early stages of 2022?
I think, you know, just thinking about Christmas specifically for a second, I think, you know, we still anticipate it'll probably be a sort of better Christmas than we had last year or the year before. So that's one sort of positive thing, because this is a crucial trading period for lots of retailers. Looking a bit further afield into 2022, you're right. If I knew with any degree of certainty, I'm sure, you know, I could probably patent that and make a lot of money. But, but you know, there are some indicators. So there are headwinds, and we know there are headwinds. So, you know, inflation's been rising, and it's been rising due in part to sort of items within the sort of CPI basket that people can't really switch away easily from. So there's rising energy prices. So both fuel and electric have gone up sort of, you know, 20 or 30% in some cases. And that's all putting a dent in sort of consumers' ability to sort of spend on discretionary items. We've seen in our in shop price index that, you know, those additional costs that retailers are facing, whether it's an increased corporation tax or national insurance contributions or rises in the living wage, are all sort of beginning to feed through into consumer prices, both for non-food items like electronics and fashion, but also in food as well, which again is you know, not something that people can really stop buying. So, you know, the Bank of England forecast that this is going to sort of hit a peak of, you know, perhaps 5.5% in April, and then sort of coast back down to a lower level, but still probably a percentage point or two above their 2% target by Q4 of 2022. So that's going to be a bit of a challenge. And in terms of consumer confidence, what's a bit of a concern is throughout the pandemic, we've seen essentially that consumer confidence was correlated quite closely to sort of people's perceptions of the pandemic, COVID-19 and its risks. And in the last quarter, that's decoupled slightly. So consumer confidence has been taking a bit of a hit, and people's perception, well, at least up until Omicron came on the scene, was sort of going in the right direction, which points to the fact that people are worried about their finances. You know, people think that prices are going to go up. There's a survey by the Bank of England, which sort of estimates the public's perception on inflation. So people are sort of feeling the pinch slightly, and that will likely sort of have an impact on the retail sector next year. On conversely, I suppose, if it's a challenging one, obviously no one wants lockdown, but what does happen in a lockdown is you know, people's share of wallet, what they spend their money on, changes fundamentally. It has to. So people stop spending on leisure, they stop spending on travel, they stop spending on entertainment, and that money generally in the last two lockdowns has been diverted to predominantly food, but then also, you know, we saw people spending huge amounts on sort of home-centric items like electronics to sort of feather to keep themselves entertained or you know, educate their children or whatever it might be, as well as DIY games, etc. So you know, in a sort of fatalist way, if there is another one, it could be positive in some senses for the sector. But it's very difficult to say at this precise moment in time.
Yeah, I think the word that you use there, challenging, is an apt one for potentially what's to come. Kyle, we'll probably be getting you back on in the new year just to talk about a bit of a wrap up of how the Christmas period went. But if I don't talk to you before then, Merry Christmas and thanks for coming on the podcast.
You too, Will. Thanks so much.
And thanks again to Kyle for joining us. Now, retailers dealing with the fallout from Brexit will be no strangers to the ever-changing customs rules landscape. It's not always the easiest thing to keep track of, and there are some critical rule changes coming into effect on the 1st of January 2022. To help us understand more, we talked to Eleanor Kane from Deloitte to find out what retailers need to know now. So I'm joined now by Eleanor Kane, Director at the Global Trade Team at Deloitte. Eleanor, how's it going?
Hi, Will. I'm very good, thank you. You can't see me, but I'm sat wearing a Christmas jumper, so very much in the festive spirit.
Love it. Merry Christmas. Now, today we're going to be talking about some upcoming UK customs rule changes coming into effect on the 1st of January. Eleanor, can you give us an overview of what the rules are currently and what's going to be changing at the turn of the year?
Sure. So I think the best way to answer that is probably to talk about the rules that were introduced from 1st of January 2021, specifically related to goods moving from the EU to the UK. I think the biggest rule that we have in place, or easement that we have in place at the moment, that I'm sure a lot of people will be aware of, is something called the Deferred Declaration Scheme. So from the 1st of January 2021, for non-controlled EU goods coming into the UK, a scheme was introduced as part of the border operating model that essentially enabled businesses to make an entry into their own records for the actual frontier part of getting your goods into the country of limited customs reporting information, with then those businesses being obliged 6 months later to put a full or supplementary declaration in, which required a certain authorisation. Now, that easement was supposed to end in July 2021, but then was extended to further support that flow of goods. But what we are seeing from 1st of January 2022 is that all goods, no matter where they're coming from, including the EU, will be subject to full border controls from a customs declaration. So that means businesses will be required to put a full customs declaration in at the point the goods are imported to the UK, or, you know, to the extent any businesses are utilising certain authorised relief, that they may be able to do it by way of a sort of simplified reporting.
So we've been hearing also that there might be some other changes to the customs rules coming up. Can you give us a little bit of a rundown on what those might be?
Yeah, of course. There are also a number of other changes that, you know, businesses need to look out for in the new year and beyond. So one of those is for any business that's utilising the UK and the EU's free trade agreement or trade and cooperation agreement, however you want to state it. So from 1st of January, there is now going to be a requirement, A, to have those supplier declarations up front, but B, to also make sure that where you've been claiming preference, that you are utilising, you have got those backdated rather suppliers declarations in place as well. We're also aware that it coming up in the new year that there's going to be controls introduced again linked to EU goods coming into the UK of products of animal origin, and that's 1st of July 2022. So it's the final thing coming up, and it is the UK's move from its CHIEF system, which is HMRC's system for declarations to be made onto something called the Customs Declaration Service, CDS, which is going to take place for import declarations fully on 30th September 22, and actually for export declarations 31st of March 2023, so quite a while away. What we're recommending to businesses is to just make sure that you are working very closely with your brokers, or if you make your own declaration, sort of undertaking your own roadmap to make sure that you're going to be ready for that switch over, that you understand when soft warehouses are going to be ready for that switch over, because they're dictating a lot of the time when that'll happen. More broadly, just on the changes we've sort of ran through there, one of the other things that we definitely recommend to retailers who are buying products or are buying them already customs cleared, making sure you're having upfront conversations with your suppliers to say, are you aware of these changes? Have you planned for them? You just to make sure that your supply chain is going to be as secure as possible.
Right. And what are the main ways that we think this might affect retailers? And also, I suppose, the main things that retailers should be looking at to make sure that they're compliant.
The main things we are actually seeing, I suppose there's three things. So number one is we're actually seeing a lot of retailers and a lot of businesses for that matter, not knowing that this deferment scheme has actually been used on their behalf. So some brokers have just been utilising it, I think, you know, with a view of facilitating the goods coming through and without actually letting the businesses know. So I think the first thing that we'd recommend any business to do is just have a conversation with your customs brokers to say, have you been utilising this scheme? You know, and just having that awareness of what needs to be in place from the 1st of January. And if you still want to use simplifications, etc., understanding what authorisations are required. For any business that has been knowingly using that scheme in terms of preparation, I suppose there's two things to think about. So number one is just ensure that where you have been using that scheme, all of your supplementary declarations that were due because you were using that scheme have been completed by the deadline. So you might be in a position come the 1st of January where you're having to do those full declarations at import, but you're still catching up with some of those supplementary declarations. And then also just making sure that you're ready with clearly defined roles, responsibilities between you, your carrier, your haulier, your agent, to say, this is the information we will provide, this is the point we will provide it, this is what our expectation is of you in terms of how you will actually then submit the customer's declarations on our behalf. Final thing, I suppose, just from a preparation perspective, you know, do consider if you're a business that has critical supply chain timeframes, if you want to use something like simplified procedures that can help that initial sort of hurdle of getting the goods into the UK with following up with a declaration a month later.
And sort of to that point, I'm sure retailers listening to this will be looking for solutions that they can use to make the process easier for them. From Deloitte's perspective, what can retailers use now that'll help them with these customs processes going forward?
So, you know, there's a number of things that retailers can utilise. One of the things that I think has been one of the most helpful is just making sure you have access to advice and recommendations to understand what changes are coming in and how you can best manage your customs landscape, particularly because we know retailers have gone through, you know, quite a sizable change, not just dealing with these declarations, but dealing with some of the periphery things that are also going to be coming in the new year. Then, you know, the other thing is, you know, having access to businesses that can support with your actual client services. So from a Deloitte perspective, we've recognised some of the challenges that businesses have been facing, both in terms of managing their compliance because of that increased customs landscape, but also managing some of the costs that are associated with that as well. I suppose the two key call outs, number one is, you know, Deloitte has Global Trade Bureau, where you can sort of outsource full compliance services to them. And then, you know, what we have done is also, you know, working towards something called Deloitte Customs Clear, which is a new platform for customs declarations to put through that allows businesses to actually make them themselves in-house. It's done at a very, very low cost. And in terms of the amount of time it takes to actually put those declarations through, it really is sort of a low cost service. So managing both compliance and at the same time sort of managing some of those costs.
Yeah, I've actually seen a demo of the Customs Clear program, and it's brilliant. On that point, Deloitte is offering a 6-month free use period for Customs Clear in exchange for feedback. So if any retailers are interested, there are limited spaces available, and it'll be allocated on a first-come, first-served basis. You can find links to both that and the Global Trade Bureau in our show notes. And if you want to know more a little bit about the upcoming customs changes, we've recently done a webinar with Deloitte on this very topic. That webinar is a bit of a deeper dive into the more technical aspects of the changes. If you're interested in watching it, you can find it on BRC's Livestorm page. That's called Customs Declarations Are Changing January 1st. Are you ready? Eleanor, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
No problem at all. Thanks very much for having me.
And thanks again to Eleanor for joining me on the podcast. You can find all the relevant links to those tools and resources in the show notes, and we really do recommend that you look into trying Customs Clear if you think it might be of use to you. And now for some breaking news. All right, and we're throwing now to our North Pole correspondent, Sophie DeSalis. Sophie, how's it going?
It's pretty cold here, but good, thanks, William.
Now, Sophie, this year's been full of supply chain issues and seemingly no one has been spared at different times of the year. We've been getting some reports that the Elves toy factory may have been affected. Have you been able to verify these reports?
Well, William, as you say, global supply chains have been badly impacted this year, but my source from inside the Elves factory, who wants to simply be known as Buddy, assures me that we are well on track to deliver toys to the children of the world on time. As you know, at peak times, Santa delivers to 822 homes per second. There has been some speculation about disruptions. The BRC are projecting no issues this Christmas season, so the parents and children of the world can sleep easy.
That's great to hear. We've also had reports that there are certain criteria children need to meet to be delivered toys. Can you tell us a little bit more about this?
Yes, you're absolutely right, William. We're hearing from our sources that Santa has a pretty extensive intelligence network throughout the world. As one of our sources puts it, he knows when you are sleeping, he knows when you're awake, he knows when you've been bad or good. So be good, for goodness sake. A strong messaging from that source. A somewhat chilling message, some would say. We've been assured that all the good children of the world have nothing to worry about. So yeah, just keep that in mind.
Now, finally, of course, we have to mention the breaking news at the moment that everyone's been talking about. Of course, the leadership battle going on at the front of Santa's sleigh. Now, we've heard that Dasher and Dancer in particular are looking to head up the sleigh this festive season. Has there been any developments on this end?
Well, yes, absolutely. A lot of talk has been centred around Dasher and Dancer, but also Prancer, Vixen and Comet have thrown their hats in the ring. Mm. And while bookies have Cupid, Donner and Blitzen at fairly long odds, we are expecting Rudolph to maintain his position guiding the sleigh. And despite all of the other reindeers not allowing him to join in the other reindeer games, we're expecting Santa to put his faith in him once again this year.
Great to hear. Good to have a steady hand on the till at this critical time of the year. Sophie, thanks for the updates and for joining me on the podcast.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. And thanks to Sophie for that critical update. Some fairly heavy topics there, so hopefully that will have eased some fears heading towards the most wonderful time of the year. And that is it for episode 3 of Radio Retail. We'll be back in the new year, so we'd like to wish a Merry Christmas to those that celebrate it, and a Happy Holidays to all. If you'd like to find out more about the work that we do at the BRC, please visit us at brc.org.uk. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you are listening now to get new episodes in your feed, and we hope you join us next time for Radio Retail. Goodbye for now.